Maybe you read this week too that in South Korea, the funeral homes are offering people a time in a coffin for 10-15 minutes to help them examine their priorities, to keep them from regrets. Just lay in a coffin for 15 minutes. South Korea is a country that tops the list of suicides. But you know what? We are far more favored. And really, that's just a business scam from the funeral homes. And it's the Word of God that will shape us up. The living Word of the living God is what leads to rightly prioritizing our lives, transforming our lives, conversion of mind and heart, keeping from sinful ways. And we're blessed with being able to read God's Word 52 Sundays a year, twice a Sunday, and then the feast days included. What a privilege, what a blessing. May we never take it for granted. This evening, let's read together from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. To be taught the way everlasting. To be taught right priorities. To be taught the way which doesn't lead to regrets. Ecclesiastes 12. Hear the word of the Lord. After which we will confess the Christian faith as summarized in the Apostles' Creed, and then sing together Psalter 281 about being mindful of our human frailty. Ecclesiastes 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth, as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So far the word of the Lord. May God bless just the reading of his holy, inspired word to us. After the sermon, we sing together Psalter 292, entitled Redeeming Love, based on Psalm 107, and we'll sing stanza 1, 2, and 1, 2, and 5. This evening's sermon, dear congregation, belonging to Christ, is especially for the children, though not only for them, of course. It's based on a text passage written by King Solomon when he was an old man. He had made many mistakes in his life, Solomon did. He'd fallen into sin in a bad way even. But now as a repentant man and dear child of the Lord, led by God the Holy Spirit, the King writes especially to the up-and-coming generation. In his writing, in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Ecclesiastes now, is for everyone, of course, but it is directed to the youth in particular. Solomon writes what he does because he wants to lead the children and the youth in right ways and to keep them from wrong ways and to have them live and die happily and to live and die wisely on earth and not in earthly misery and not being those who end up in eternal perdition. So the theme for the sermon is found in the first words of the text chapter, Ecclesiastes 12, but we'll go through the whole chapter. But the first verse reads, "Remember now thy Creator, while in the days of the youth, while the evil days come not." We will go through the whole chapter in the light of this first verse, especially. Ecclesiastes 12 is a wonderful chapter of God's Word. It's a fascinating chapter, and I hope you will conclude that with me after tonight's service as we go through this chapter together. And again, especially for you children and young people in church, please have your Bibles open, really, to profit from our study together this evening. What does Solomon say in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1? "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them." Looking at the whole chapter, we will follow 4 points using the letters of the word URGE. U-R-G-E. King Solomon is urging the younger generation as best as he can, with all the love of his heart, for the up-and-coming youth. And notice with me then, he gives us here an urgent word, a reasonable word, a gospel word, and an everlasting word. These will be our 4 points. Will you listen to his urgent and reasonable and gospel and everlasting word? Remembering these 4 points quite easily, thinking of that word, urge, related to urgent. Here firstly then we have an urgent word. In the whole book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon brings out how all of life apart from God is simply vanity of vanities. Someone, in fact, one modern translation or paraphrase says, all of life apart from God is just smoke and more smoke. And that's true. If you remove God and His Word from your life and from your worldview, the God of the Bible, and beliefs and habits based on God's Word, if you ignore that and despise that, then all of life is certainly and ultimately senseless, useless, hopeless, and profitless. King Solomon knew this from experience. He had all the world could offer and more at his fingertips. But without God and not following God and His Word and will, all that the world offers us and all that the natural man craves for as fallen, depraved sinner is empty and never brings satisfaction nor peace, nor comfort, nor lasting joy. King Solomon is writing from painful experiences. And so he's urging the children and the youth, the ways and wages of sin is death. And so go God's way in life, and not the way of sin and this world. It's an urgent word from Solomon. He's writing in sincere affection. And as one who has run with sin and the world's ways, only to find it leads to miserable ruin on every front. So King Solomon pleads. He pleads in God's name. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. It's an urgent word too, because Solomon knew how with every generation we are so prone not to listen, so slow to learn. And rather than remembering God, we tend to forget God. That's true, isn't it? Also, the up-and-coming generation here, and every generation. The tendency of fallen mankind is to forget God and not to remember Him. The tendency is to rebel against God and not to revel in God. Who doesn't know this from experience? And which honest person here won't admit it is so, alas? We don't naturally rise from our beds as springboards for God and godliness. But by nature, we are living as independent, self-reliant, self-centered, worldly people. Can't this be reflected also? Even in with the first thing we often do as we get up, also when we're older, but also when we're younger, we check our computers, we check our phones, we check our email, we check our Facebook, etc. Rather than first call upon God and read His Word, we sooner text others than take note of God's text to us from heaven. Even on Sundays, it seems, we can be busy texting others more than being in God's text to us. And when children, isn't it true? We can so easily get caught up with playing and being busy with fun activities, which isn't bad, but when that's our concentration in life, when that's what we're only always excited about, and never want to listen really to God's Word. That's what we can be so easily like. We don't pay attention to what's all important, and we get all involved in what's not so important. As one person put it, quote, children are often trifling in serious things, and youth serious in trifles. Children are often trifling in serious things, and youth serious in trifles. End of quote. I ask you, is that not true? But Solomon says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. And don't live and die in forgetfulness of God. King Solomon's words is urgent also because youth is such a decisive time in life, isn't it? It has so much impact in the whole of our lives. We know that, don't we? How we live in youth often affects us for the whole of our life. We live in a world in which every generation will teach and promote, our generation especially, I would say, teaches and promotes. Youth is for pleasure mostly. And adult years and middle years, well, they're for business, especially. And then old age, well, maybe, if you want, that can be for religion. If that makes you feel better, go ahead. But the Bible teaches us, doesn't it? We were created by God. We were created in His image. We were created for His glory. We were created to be dedicated, devoted to God. Our fall into sin has spoiled this all. Has brought us into ruin. It leaves us depraved. It leaves us blinded. It leaves us having distorted views on everything. We need to be saved from our blindness, from our sins and sinfulness. We need to be reconciled to God, redeemed, restored to Him, brought in the way of His gospel and will. And you see, this is what Solomon is urging and saying here when he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. With this remember, Solomon means, what do you think he means? He means, live in humble, hearty trust and obedience of the Lord and His Word. Live submitting to Him and His Word and His will, surrendering to Him, bowing the knee to Him, the Lord our God and His Word. There are two kinds of people in the world. You know this. Those who remember God and His Word, and those who don't. Those who forget God and His Word. Which path are you following? Do you remember God and His Word in your heart and life? Or are you living mostly forgetting God and His Word in your heart and life? How has 2015 been for you in regards to this question? Solomon says here, choose you this day, the younger the better even, whom you will seek and serve and love and follow. God the Savior or sin and the devil? The way of the world or the way of God's Word? I think of it, I ask the consistory for the service New Year's Eve. Do people generally come to church here New Year's Eve? I've been in churches as pastor where I know for New Year's Eve, members of the church plan not to be there because they got a party planned. A party where there'll be quite a bit of drinking and where the idea is not at all to remember God, but to try to forget God, to try to forget anything about anything and just let loose. I hope none of you are planning such a New Year's evening. Sometimes people go to church New Year's Eve and then they still have that kind of party. I hope you don't. Solomon says, choose you this day. Whom will you follow? And you should know, don't think that if you live your youth years, your younger years, mainly for pleasure, just for fun and for parties and for this and that of this world, that you shouldn't think, well, then in your adult years, you're just all of a sudden smart enough and you'll become wiser. And that in your old age, if granted that, you'll be a fully focused person on God. You'll be wise and you'll be seeking the Lord. No, says the Scripture. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. Following path of sin leads to the dulling of our minds and hearts so that we no longer hear the gospel. Remember now your Creator, therefore, says Solomon, in the days of your youth. Besides, even if you could be sure that you would listen to the Lord later on in life, when you get middle-aged or when you start getting older, say as an older person, I ask you, are you happy to think about giving God just the leftovers of your life, so to speak, and not the whole of your life? You're happy to give God just the leftovers? And not those years of useful vigor and strength and so much energy which is given to you by God that you might seek and serve Him? Isn't God your Creator God? Isn't God the God who provides you every blessing? Doesn't He give you every breath you breathe? Isn't He the one in whom you live and move and have your being? Isn't He the one worthy of our whole life, including those best years of our lives, those prime years? Also those strong years of youth and young adulthood. And what makes you think, if you are accustomed in your youth to live only for self and this world and foolishly pursue that in all your ways, that when you are older, you will become wiser and smarter and you will get spiritual. You will get Christian and godly. You know what? There's no basis for such vain confidence. Even if you should live to be 1,000 years old, and even if you should lay in a coffin for 10-15 minutes every day of your life, man is by nature a fool. And when we follow sin's ways, we walk in sin's ways, blinded, except we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And the call of God's Word is we must come under His Word and pray God to let that Word penetrate in our hearts and lives. Solomon's Word is an urgent Word. Also, you know why? Because he so much desires the best for the children and youth. The very best. The ways of the Lord, they're not unhappy ways. I hope you don't think that. They're not unfulfilling ways, but rather, they're most happy and fruitful ways, for sure. It's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil that to get a life, you need to get rid of God and His Word in your life. No, no. To get a life, as the Calgary youth chose years ago as their motto, means life. L-I-F-E. Living in faith every day. That's getting a life. Solomon, in the last part of Ecclesiastes 12, the last part of Ecclesiastes 11, is desirous. He's longing to remove, as he says there, sorrow from the heart of youth and to prevent evil in our lives as children and youth. And this is what makes him say that in chapter 12, verse 1, and in the whole chapter, with loving urgency, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. I have a quote here. The more we can be overwhelmed with God, the less we will be consumed with ourselves. Why are so many people consumed with themselves and never able to find peace? Because they're not overwhelmed with God. The more we can be overwhelmed with God, the less we will be consumed with ourselves. See, and Solomon had learned this. And this is what he's trying to teach the younger generation. Do you see it as an urgent word, what he's giving? When you are told something is urgent, what does that mean? It means it's something pressing, something crucial, something critical, something all-important, something surely this word of Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 is. It's an earnest, it's a serious word for you and me now to pay attention to, all ears to. Dear youth and children in church, will you pay attention to this word? Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Yes, for consider next, this is clearly also a most reasonable word. Our second main point. And here notice with me what King Solomon does in the verses 2 to 7 in our text passage. Solomon gives us a very realistic picture of what old age is like. He introduces this already in verse 1, speaking of living in those evil or difficult days. He says, remember, you're created in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, those difficult days. And he's referring to the years and the time of getting old, when life is not so much a pleasure anymore, often. You know, when we are young, life looks so promising, so full of hope. And that's good, too. It's like when the sun or the moon or the stars are not darkened, as Solomon puts it in verse 2. It's always sunshine when we're young. Well, that's good to have that outlook, yes. But Solomon goes on. After living life a while, some years go by and you come to realize, yes, especially as you get older, it seems like the clouds return after the rain, as he puts it. Which means there's hardly a sunshiny day anymore. After a rainy day, then clouds come again. The clouds returning after the rain is like a poetic expression of Solomon speaking of a succession of troubles. Succession of troubles. You know that in Job we read, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I always think of skate sharpeners. When they sharpen the skate, you see those sparks flying. And the Bible says we are born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We read in Job 14, verse 1. This is not meant to be a somber, pessimistic sermon. No, but it's realistic. Life is full of troubles. It comes sooner and later in life. Some older ones here and some maybe not so old here are going through this even now. Troubles, struggles, hardships, experiencing this trial and that trial in life, in life's brief journey. Solomon is saying, getting on in years, life shows itself in many ways as a veil of tears. And almost no one escapes this in one way or another. And in that light, then, in verses 3 to 7, Solomon goes on describing for us the breakdown of the body as we get older. Follow along with me in the text as I explain what Solomon here says very descriptively and realistically. Solomon speaks realistically, poetically, of the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. And that refers to the arms and the hands by which we keep ourselves and take care of ourselves and do our daily work. They begin to tremble. We get older and we can't quite do as much as we used to do. The older we get, our arms and hands become frail and shaky, with some more than others, some sooner than others. The older we get, it's that way. Just as the psalmist of Psalm 71 states in his prayer to God, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Next, says Solomon, the strong men shall bow themselves, referring to our legs and our back, no longer quite holding up like before, when in our younger years and in the time of middle age. Our knees and our legs can become wobbly when older often. I experienced this at the last Barakiah Youth Camp when we had that one tag game in the woods where we had to run to tag others or run away not to be tagged. I sure felt that for days afterwards. But you younger ones didn't feel a thing, I'm sure. And then there are those grinders, Solomon says, that cease because they are few. What does that refer to? Well, it refers to our teeth, with which we grind our food to help in the digestion process. When older, especially too in Solomon's times, when dentists and a set of false teeth were not known or readily available to people, the older one became, generally, the fewer his or her teeth, making eating and swallowing become all the more difficult. And then Solomon goes on, "And those that look out the windows be darkened." Children, can you tell me what that might refer to? You're right, it refers to eyesight, no longer seeing quite so well, making it harder to enjoy nature and to read and to go anywhere. You know, as we get older, people find they need glasses or cataract surgery, or that their eyesight is just getting poorer and dimmer. They can't drive at night anymore. Maybe that's true for some of you here. Or maybe you can't knit like you used to, or read as you were accustomed to, or be behind that computer so long as you were before. Verse 4 goes on and describes, "And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low," which probably refers to not being able to hear so well anymore either, with the result of not talking so much and not engaging in everyday life conversation and matters as you always used to do. "The infirmities of old age," quote, wrote someone, "deprive social life of half its charms." And older people often feel that. They feel they don't really fit in anymore. And it's more difficult to contribute to society in any real way. Oh, they still do, and we should make sure we tell them that. But often they feel they don't because, well, they can't become involved as in younger years. They don't quite hear the conversation. They can't keep up with the talk. They just feel more and more not part of it. And they don't go out like before. And they become shut-ins, either willfully or not so willfully. At their night times, Solomon says, are often restless, finding it hard to sleep many times, and sometimes being able to wake up so easily and way too early. Oh, how many older people will tell you this, that they have trouble sleeping and that they are easily disturbed at night, and the slightest noise can be so startling to them. What does Solomon say? Notice, he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. Whereas, when you were younger, when we are younger, after a good day's work or a lot of fun playing for the day, we usually can sleep soundly and long, no problem, even through a loud thunderstorm. And then the last phrase of verse 4, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, maybe referring to the lungs and the voice and the ear and to the inability to sing and to give praises to God as in earlier years. You know, when getting on in years, often breathing becomes harder, more laborious, and the voice becomes a bit shaky, and the ear hard of hearing, and altogether keeping a tune becomes something that more or less escapes us. Older people will tell you that often. I can't sing very well anymore. Old Barzillai actually said this same to David when the king asked him in 2 Samuel 19 to stay with him. Then Barzillai answered, as stated in 2 Samuel 19, verse 35, I am this day 80 years old, that means 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore should your servant be yet a burden to my lord the king? See, he realized the infirmities of old age. So Solomon here, you see, he's giving us a very realistic picture in general of getting older. And he continues his description in verse 5, stating how when you get older, you become afraid of heights. And if you're not afraid of heights, your kids will tell you, Dad, don't go on that ladder. We don't want you on the ladder because you're afraid of heights and fearful of whatever you imagine might come in the way of your path, or that you imagine might be there. Older people can be prone to countless worries of imagined problems and obstacles. So much so that it prevents them from doing many things that they always did when they were younger. No problem. Without a thought. We often lose our courage and poise when come to older years and the increasing frailties of life. Fears shall be in the way, says Solomon. Fears inhibiting us. Because you see, you imagine accidents or falling or whatever. As the almond and the almond tree shall flourish, Solomon says, most likely a reference to becoming gray-haired. For apparently the almond tree is covered with snow-white blossoms. And this tree gives a true picture of becoming with age, silver-gray-haired. And thinking of tree blossoms, you can imagine too the silver locks slowly but surely disappearing with age, and the bald spot getting there more and more. And Solomon goes on and he says, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, which is likely a description of how the least little thing, the least matter in life, can become so much a burden for older people. The lightest thing is a load that can overwhelm us when older. I remember visiting a person in Calgary, actually a radio listener to our broadcast, who was so troubled about a tree in his backyard that he thought would fall on the house with the next windstorm. And he kept thinking it needed to be cut down. And he was so uptight about that. This whole little matter was such a stressful concern for him, needlessly so. When we get older, we can get so bent out of shape about things that aren't really matters of real concern. The grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, says Solomon. Desire shall fail. Referring simply how when we get older, generally, one has less drive for life in every way. You can't just get up and go like you used to. You don't quite have the energy anymore. In John, 1 John 3:17, the Apostle John writes about the world passing away and the lust thereof. Everyday pleasures can become more problematic than pleasurable when getting on in years. I remember visiting my parents when they got older, and it would be 10 o'clock before they were finally ready for the new day. We say, come on, I've been going already a couple hours. No, it just takes longer. Everyday pleasures can become more problematic than pleasurable when getting on in years. Talking to older people, you will hear them tell you, this is true. I read this passage to an older member in my church the Sunday before I preached this sermon, and this person said to me, Pastor, that is so realistic, that passage. That's exactly how I feel. She was an 84-year-old lady. And then in the last half of verse 5, notice Solomon goes on to speak of man going to his, what? To his long home, and the mourners standing by. Well, that final long home here refers to what? To the grave. To the grave. You know, the closer we come to the last day, our time in the grave will be shorter. But in general, it's true. The place where we are the longest before Christ's return in our body is in our long homes, our coffins, 6 feet underground. When speaking of death, in verse 6, Solomon mentions how at death the silver cord is loosed, and the golden bowl broken, and the pitcher broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And this is all likely referring to, in picture poetic language, to the breakdown of the nervous system from the brain and the spinal cord, and the breakdown of the blood circulatory system from the heart, and the wheel broken in the cistern probably refers to the breakdown of our plumbing system in our bodies. And the whole point is, the brain stops when the heart stops beating, and then there's no more breath of life. So also Solomon writes, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit, the soul, shall return unto God who gave it. This is the natural lot of everyone, sooner or later. No one can escape it. Your long home is waiting for you, whether you like to realize it or not. And it can come before you realize it. You don't know. And you know, I say again, you don't need to lay in a coffin to get an experience of this and to get focused as you ought to get focused. You need to listen to God's Word. Will you listen to God's Word? Solomon urges here, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. He's giving us an urgent and a reasonable word, you see, to be right with God early in life and to have our life sorted through rightly, young, when we're young. To live ever seeking and serving the Lord sooner than later. Earlier than later. For only then will you find true meaning in life and real comfort and blessing and joy. Yes, also when coming to the older years in life and beyond. You know, it's when we are reconciled to God in childhood and youth, and trusting and following Him in our lives, following Christ Jesus and His Word in our lives, then life's brief journey begins to make sense and has purpose and has focus and has promise and has hope and comfort, even also in the time of old age, also in the valley of the shadow of death. For you see, Christ came, didn't He? He came to give us what? Fullness of life here and now, abundant life, and then victory over death, and then the gift of eternal life hereafter. That's the gospel. But to live apart from God, to just ignore Him, to forget His book, to go your own way, and then to get in those senior years, those years when many struggles come, many troubles, hardly then does one turn to the Lord and call upon Him. Have you not visited sometimes Or try to talk to speak to someone sometimes who's an older person and you just can't get through. I have. You can't get through anymore. It's too late. Even often it's not even possible anymore. Hardly. When people get older, to turn to the Lord and call upon Him because of the infirmities of old age. I encourage you to visit a nursing home in town, maybe in Lethbridge, maybe in Fort McLeod, any nursing home, and you will see how difficult in many cases to have any real communications with those living there. Oh, of course, there are happy exceptions, of course. But Solomon is saying, isn't he? Learn from what is the grim reality in general. It's most reasonable to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call upon Him while He is near. And before you can't consider these matters seriously at all anymore. Well, children and young people and congregation all together, will you let this time of youth and this time of your younger years be a time that you ask the Lord Jesus in your heart, and that you follow Him in your life wholeheartedly, decisively, in submission to all His Word? Do you hear with me Solomon urging for this in our text passage? You know, maybe it'll be a very good thing if tonight after you get home from church, at least before you go to bed, in your own room, you pray and you say, Lord, I don't want to live my life not remembering You as my Creator and only Savior, Lord. And another year is about to go by. Lord, help me as a young person, help me as a child to remember You in my heart and life. Please, work the Savior in my life, and that I may follow Him in sincerity and truth. Let me not live unwisely as the years go by, but let me hear the Word of the Lord and follow His Word in my life. The first verses of the chapter stresses how before you know it, the years of old age can be there. Those difficult years, those evil years, as Solomon puts it. It can come there so quickly. So do not delay. Do not delay in listening to the message of our text. Delaying is one of Satan's best tactics to cause many to go to hell. The devil loves it when you more or less believe there's a God, when you more or less believe that the Bible is the Word of God, when you more or less believe there's a hell or heaven, but you don't take it seriously to seek the Lord today. But the Bible says today, seek Him. Close with Him while it's the day of grace. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, Paul says in Romans, in the 2 Corinthians 6. Well, notice further, Solomon gives us this earnest closing exhortation. This chapter of Ecclesiastes is not only providing us an urgent word and a reasonable word, but surely it's a gospel word from start to finish. Well, what makes he say that? It's a gospel word. Well, the verses 8 to 12 bring this out. Where we are told it's the preacher speaking here. The preacher of the gospel. God anoints here Solomon to serve as a preacher bringing the gospel. And a preacher bringing the gospel, scripturally speaking, means someone bringing good news yet. Someone bringing hope. Someone bringing glad tidings of good things. It's true, life is vain. And all is smoke apart from God and being saved by Him and following after Him by grace through faith. But in teaching us that, Solomon is speaking the gospel. He's saying, find salvation with the Lord while it's the day of grace. Seek Him, follow Him, love Him, serve Him, commit yourself to Him. Don't postpone, don't procrastinate, don't be waffling, don't be double-minded. Be decisive. Verse 9 mentions how as preacher, Solomon desired wisely to proclaim the gospel message. And every faithful preacher prays this in his study, Lord, help me wisely. Help me to know how to bring the Word of God to the people. Solomon prayed, Lord, help me to know best how to bring it with proverbs and with acceptable words, he says, meaning words of truth, driving home God's gospel message to the mind and to the heart of his hearers. How interesting is our text chapter. And in what clear and simple and rational way it urges us to listen to the gospel word and to close with God, with Christ, repenting of sin and believing in Him without hesitation, without objection, without compromise. You know, the gospel word goes out indeed to all hearers of our age. But it's addressed here in our text, especially to covenant youth. Imagine that. God of heaven has a special word for you, covenant youth, children in church. He's especially reaching out to you. If you're unreconciled with God, or if you are reconciled with God, stay with God. Don't live unconverted, worldly lives. It's still the day of grace. The more we can be overwhelmed with God, the less we will be consumed with ourselves and with the trivia of this world. The Lord calls all to come to Him. And He welcomes all who come to Him for full and free salvation. Yes, even Solomon. God came to him in his youth. Solomon received the Lord, but Solomon wavered and backslid terribly. But the Lord received him back again when he repented. The Lord is gracious. What does it say in verse 11? We read there, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies which are given from one shepherd. And are we not taught here how that all Scripture is given by God the Holy Spirit and God the Son, pointing us to Christ, the good shepherd of His sheep, the one who really cares for His sheep, the one who gave His life for His sheep, the one who will lead His sheep in the way everlasting. All Scripture, all together, points to Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And that gospel word, you see, also Ecclesiastes 12, is meant to drive you and me to Christ the Savior for a first time and over again. Just as goads, which are sticks with metal ends at the end of it, which were used to direct animals in a certain way. Maybe like today we have electric prods. Maybe you farmers have that, I'm not sure anymore, but that's what goad means here. We are not animals, no, but we are God's highest creation, made in His image, yet falling into sin and being sinful by nature. We can become like animals, and even worse than animals, can't we? And yet God will prod us in the way we should go, and guide us in the way we shouldn't go. And this part of Scripture also is meant so to lead us and to bless us. We have lost our way. We have lost the excellent gift of God created that He created us with. And we need rebirth. We need recreation. We need to be converted to God in spirit and truth. And by the word of the Holy Scripture, the gospel word, the preached word, the Lord works to drive home to our minds and hearts the reality of our misery by nature and of the only deliverance being through Christ, crucified and risen Savior of sinners. How we are called to live trusting and following after Him. My son, says Solomon, or my daughter, will you be admonished and instructed by this simple, earnest gospel word? You know, you can study lots of books, and that's good. You can be busy learning in so many other ways. You can go lay in a coffin if you want. But it's all weariness of the flesh. And if this matter is not in order of you listening to God's word, people lay in a coffin and they might make a few reforms, but they're staying with their sinful selves and they won't have any real remedy for their life. Here you have the way of real remedy This is the fundamental point, you see. What counts for everything. Will you hear the word of the living God and let it transform you by God's grace and Spirit? Yes, the sooner you get it, the better. The sooner you believe it, the better. The sooner you have Jesus in your heart and life and His Word as your authority and rule in life, the better. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. You read in Proverbs several times. Does the Lord have your heart? Or is your heart still hardened against Him? How often the Lord calls us in this way. And you can keep putting it off. You can keep half listening in your youth. But oh, beware of that. Be very afraid of being a half listener to God's Word. For many half listeners soon become no listeners at all. It's in half listening that you go down many wrong paths and that you open yourselves more and more to not hearing the Lord at all. And when old age comes, you are no longer able nor willing to listen to all the gospel message. You can't hear, it doesn't fizz on you. It's just nothing registers anymore. You can't even think it through anymore. You know what that means? That means living and dying in your sins, only to perish forever in the place of endless, eternal punishment and doom and gloom. Is that how you wish to live and die as the years go by? I don't think so. I sure hope not. Rather, urges Solomon, you see, thinking in God's name, even on behalf of the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, come to Jesus. Come and hear His voice. Follow Him. The sooner the better in every way. For this life, in our younger years, and in our middle age time, and in our older years, if God gives you such. And then, for eternity beyond. Oh, of ourselves, we don't deserve any mercy and hope of salvation from sin. And we don't deserve the gift of eternal life. Solomon surely didn't either. But you see, God in Christ is full of mercy and loving kindness. And He desires not the death of the wicked, but rather that we each turn from our sins and be converted to Him in true faith and repentance and holy love and service from the days of our youth, living to God's praise and for the good of our neighbor, with God's Word and will as our constant guide and guard. Well, shall we each and all listen to Solomon's earnest closing chapter of Ecclesiastes. Yes, for notice yet our last point, how this is the everlasting Word of God. The everlasting Word of God. The final two verses of the chapter surely make this point loud and clear. There are two ways in life, and it's true for all generations till the last day. You either live in the fear of the Lord, or you don't live in the fear of the Lord. There is a broad way that leads to destruction, and a narrow way that leads to life. And the Bible warns many are following the broad way, and heedless of the only way of salvation. The Bible calls, come in the narrow way. Living in the fear of the Lord is living in the way of wisdom, and blessing, and godliness. And having promise for the life that now is, and of that which is to come. When you seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all the other things in life, they fall in their place. Most of our troubles, yes, all of our troubles, are because we too often seek everything else in life, and not first of all God and His glory in our lives. Living in the way of sin and unbelief, and ongoing worldliness, and the way of the devil, you are following the path of present and eternal misery and endless grasping at straws and constant disappointment and then never ceasing weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus tells us this. He who is the truth, the way, and the life. Solomon speaks of living in the fear of the Lord and keeping God's commandments, seeing the whole of true religion as a package, as one gracious, glorious package from God. You see, when truly believing in Jesus, it will show in you also loving God above all and loving your neighbor as outlined in the Ten Commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, said Jesus. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. We read in John. And so we need to really be clear about this. When people say, and I hear it many times, when people say they fear God and that they are Christians, but they can live in sin and worldliness and ungodliness, they are not telling the truth. And you need not to fool yourself about this, anyone here, because there is a day of judgment coming. Solomon said it very clearly in the last verse of the chapter. Many people want to fool others, but you cannot fool God. The way of happiness and the way for the eternal future of bliss is to fear God and to keep His commandments. And the way to hell is to not live in this way and to keep not hearing the urgent, reasonable, gospel, everlasting Word calling to you. So Ecclesiastes ends, doesn't it, with this earnest summary plea for us all. And again, especially for children and youth here in church this evening. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, all too many in the generations after Solomon, they would not listen to this earnest closing chapter of Ecclesiastes. We know that from the history of the covenant people in the Bible. Many thought maybe later in life they would take the gospel call seriously, but it never happened. Many tried to half listen to what Solomon maybe had to say, but soon they wouldn't listen at all. You can't have two masters, said Jesus. You and I need to take this call most seriously, for it could be the last gospel call you ever hear even. Will you take it to heart, dear covenant children and youth? And if you do, when you do, don't you think that will show even in the few days left of this year, and as the new year begins, that it will show whether you do or you don't listen to God's Word and take it to heart, yes or no. Oh, let us all hear the Word of the Lord in spirit and truth, for there's no other escape from sin, from Satan, from death and hell, except as revealed in Jesus Christ and His gospel word. You know, speaking personally, if I don't have a Savior just for my secret sins, as Solomon mentions, never mind for all my open and public shortcomings, how can I stand in the last day? Isn't it the same for you too? All of us even? Everyone here? So hear the Word of the Lord, this urgent, reasonable, gospel, everlasting Word, won't you? The way of salvation and happiness, now and forever, is to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call upon Him while He is near. And you know, so David, Solomon's father, so he also instructed his son, as we read in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and seek Him with a perfect or whole heart, and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. And then David says to his son Solomon, if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. Yes, thus saith the Lord. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. This is the word of the Lord from Solomon. But they're greater than Solomon. He has spoken. He is a good shepherd. And He says, he that has an ear to hear, let him or her hear.
Amen.